We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
I appreciate the hockey tweets checking in and be like, Lawrence, there's a whole category of guys. I'm like, look, Kevin Bieksa was close to making the list. Rafi Torres was close to making the list. You basically could have just said the 2010 Vancouver Canucks.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Apparently, a few feet away from here, he is having a good time. Some things that got through the censors with Chance today. Enjoy yourself. It's a celebration. But yeah, for those of you who are saying I could have literally done a list of Vancouver Canucks. Maybe we should do that. You want to have a little fun next week? And just be like top five hated Vancouver Canucks. We could do that. Could literally just roll them out there. Do we count the Sedins as one or two?
Two.
Okay. It'll be a future top five list. My top five most hated Vancouver Canucks. But for now, we are going to talk about the Bears. Our guy, Cam Ellis, he joins us every week. We get the opportunity to talk with him on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hey, Cam.
Lawrence, for a second, I was like thinking that you were going to ask me about the Vancouver Canucks, and I was like panickingly typing Vancouver Canucks into my computer, being like, I got to name five because I think he's just going to spring this on me.
No, I would not do that to you. But since you asked, let me get your top five Nashville Predators. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally.
I was like, oh my God.
I'm totally just kidding. So, Cam, what did you think of what you saw Sunday with the Bears and the Packers?
You know, I thought it was very predictable, literally, in the sense that, like, I was sitting next to our other reporter, Chris Emma, and he turned to me at one point in the fourth quarter and was like, watch Devontae Adams break through coverage and break a tackle for, like, a 60-yard gain. And, like, 10 minutes later, it happened. And, like, no one was surprised at all. So, in that sense, it was a fairly predictable, in my eyes, Bears-Packers outcome. But at the same time, I wasn't as down on the Bears as I typically am in these Packers games. Like, I thought there were things that they did well and improved upon, even in a pretty standard, traditional Aaron Rodgers loss.
I felt similarly. What were the things that gave you a little bit of good feeling about the Bears, even though they lost the game?
To start, Khalil Herbert. Like, I think he's a real guy, and I think he's really going to be a legitimate back for the Bears. I think he really works in a lot of different ways, and it was wild to see how well he immediately fit into the offense in the role he had, which was pretty significant. It wasn't Justin Fields' greatest game by any means, but I thought that he still made a bunch of really encouraging throws. This is the standard. Like, the Bears are always going to commit a false start out of a timeout of some sort. So, like, none of that surprises me anymore. Like, none of these mental mistakes necessarily surprised me at this point, but it was more of the execution and seeing progress in the execution that I thought was the encouraging thing to take away.
Where do you stand on whether or not Matt Nagy's offense works? And hear me out. Before you answer, Cam, hear me out.
Yeah.
I think that over the last few years, what Matt Nagy has been able to do is make it seem like that they're just missing the quarterback. Are there signs here that it's not necessarily just the quarterback, that there might be something bigger and more systemic going on with the problems with it?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I don't think you can look past how uninvolved the tight ends have been basically at every step of the way that Matt Nagy's been here. I don't think you can look at the up and down results from an offensive line that has been good at times, but mostly mediocre to bad. There's production issues at the wide receiver position. I think that it's people that are smarter than me have looked at this offense and gone, you know, even with a bunch of really, really top guys in place, how well schemed, how useful, how modern is this offense actually? And I think it's fair. Like, I don't think you can go through as many different types of players. And I know, you know, it's all at the quarterback, obviously, but the wide receivers and the tight ends and some of the tackles. And I don't think you can go through all of that and still be a bottom 10, bottom five team and say the offensive scheme is still, there's still hope down the line. Like, I am pretty out on what Matt Nagy is selling in terms of his offensive scheme.
So what can improve here? Does Justin Fields have to elevate everything? Or is there any hope, or should a Bears fan have any hope that independent of Fields, things are going to get better?
It's hard to say independent of Fields because it's just such an integral position. And I think the best way to look at it is that if you want to be optimistic, it's that Justin Fields has seemingly gotten better every game. And maybe it's not leaps and bounds, but there is gradual, noticeable improvement. And I think that it's only going to improve Allen Robinson's stats as the year goes along once he gets on the same page as him. And, you know, the line will presumably work a little better when they understand and are used to his cadence and his checks. And that sort of just more time and snaps together on the field never hurts. So I think it, like, to say that I get why people are mad that it says, like, everything flows to the quarterback, but that is, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, the case in NFL offenses today. So I think that there are Bears have players in place. You know, I think David Montgomery's great. I think Khalil Herbert's going to be good. I think they have some good skill players. If Justin Fields makes even a little bit more of a jump, I think that the Bears are going to be better than people thought they would be this year. But I do think that there's some patience needed because this is not going to be a this year thing.
It's pretty crazy too that you would think that, considering how the Bears have run the ball this season, that there would be opportunities for them to be better offensively. Isn't that kind of what we expected? I'm sure that that's what the coaches probably expected, that if we can effectively run the ball, it makes us more than one dimensional, and we should be able to build off of that. And the fact that they haven't is discouraging.
Yeah, and I think that's the big, you're right. I think that's the very large warning sign, sort of red flag for Matt Nagy, is that this is the league's worst passing offense, if not, like, and if you look at, I'm sure you can find a stat where they're the second worst or whatever, but, like, they are a abysmal passing offense, and that was more or less, like, Matt Nagy was the offensive guru, but he was also, you know, the quarterback whispering offensive guru, and so to improve the talent at quarterback and still be a bottom tier passing offense, like, that is, I think, the largest indictment that Matt Nagy has going for him right now.
Let me ask you about the two stories that were surrounding the game. And we're talking with Cam Ellis from our staff. You can read his work at 670thescore.com. What did you think of Aaron Rodgers owning the fans at Soldier Field?
I thought it was great. And
me
like,
too.
I know that like it is just that is what you want out of sports games like that. And I get that it's painful because it's in Chicago, obviously, but that is like what you objectively pay money to go see, or, you know, in our line of business, that's what you want to get in. You want to be able to be there for those games. You know, it was so cool, like being in the Aaron Rodgers press conference, listening to him talk, because you're like, wow, they're like, this is as good as sports gets for this time of year and for that rivalry. And it was immediately like a notch in the Bears-Packers rivalry that I think is going to transcend this season specifically. So I thought it was great. Like, I get why Chicago has to be mad, but objectively, like, so cold and just like a perfect moment.
Okay, the other story that's been going, and you wrote about this on 670thescore.com, the back and forth. Well, I guess technically it's not back and forth. It was one thing and then another. And now Olin's in the middle of it. So that's not good for Eddie Jackson. But Eddie Jackson versus Lance Briggs, you found a lot of comedy and joy inside this kind of thing that's going on between them.
It's just so, like, unnecessary. Like, why are we doing this? I get why both sides are mad, because, like, objectively both people are right, but that also just makes everyone wrong, I think. Like, there's nothing to be gained from Eddie Jackson picking a fight with a bunch of very, very famous Bears players. And I don't think there's a whole lot to be gained to just making the very, like, one argument about Eddie Jackson that everyone's been making for 5 years. And so, like, it is just so silly to me. And I think it's the perfect example of, like, what Packers losses do to Chicago. Like, I don't think this happens if it is, like, they lose to the Bengals. Like, I think this is just, like, everyone is so in their feelings about the Packers loss that, like, this just springs out from it.
Yeah, and the thing is, and you pointed it out in the piece that you wrote, I was talking about it yesterday. What Briggs said about Eddie was pretty innocuous, and for him to to then go sifting through 10 years of Twitter to try and get something to clap back with, I thought was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, and like that, you know, like it is kind of difficult to go through 10 years of tweets. And like that, there is a dedicated effort there that also I had no idea PFF was just like slinging shots at people 10 years ago on Twitter. But like there is, yeah, Eddie Jackson took some time after the game to really dig in. So like I feel like we should maybe applaud him for doing his homework, because like that is not he's not halfing it there. Like that is a full effort.
It is. Cam, as always, I appreciate the chat. I look forward to talking with you about Tom Brady next week.
Oh, good. Okay. I'll talk to you later, Lawrence.
That is Cam Ellis. You know what I'm wondering? We all know that Tom Brady's not going to talk to Nick Foles after the game because Nick Foles is the third quarterback. Will he talk to Justin Fields? I think that he will. And I think he'll talk to him for a couple of reasons. I think that Tom does like being kind of the grandfather of the young quarterbacks, especially when he beats him. And I also think that he would enjoy making Nick Foles feel bad and have Nick Foles going, wait a minute, I've beaten you twice and I get no love, and yet you will go and talk with Justin Fields. It's something to watch for at the end of that game. Late 325, whole nation, right, is watching that game next week. I think it's a 325 kickoff with the GOAT.
And I think we got Nance and Romo.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I look forward to Tony Romo breaking down Justin Fields. Not that the other analysts haven't done a good job, like Charles Davis has done a good job talking about, but having a quarterback in there in real time, like breaking down some of the things that Justin Fields sees, I think will be very valuable. It was cool that Greg Olsen was doing it, and I thought that, you know what, Greg's really good at this already. But I think people kind of knew that that was going to be the case, which is why he has a job. But having Romo be able to break down Justin Fields, that's something that's worth our time. Even let's say that the Bears lose. And remember, last year's Buccaneers game, I think, was one of Matt Nagy's best coaching jobs that he's done. They legitimately made adjustments as the game was going on. I could get more technical, but I run out of time. But they Todd Bowles punched them, and they counterpunched. It wasn't pretty, but it was a win. And they were a big underdog in that game. Maybe they can put some of those things together and try to get another win against a great team. And if you do, then this stretch of three games will have been a success. But yeah, man, that was one of Matt Nagy's best coaching jobs. Go back and watch that game. It's not pretty, but it was effective. There's some stuff going on in college football. So I'm going to call Pete Futek. He's going to join me. We'll find out why LSU fired, air quotes, Ed Orgeron, and who's going to take that job and what's going on at Washington State. Futek joins me next here on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
I want to take a little time off. You know, I'm 60 years old, of course, for 37 years. I think I'm going to have enough money to buy me a hamburger and every once in a while, maybe a double meat cheeseburger, a Sonic. But I want to take a little time off to find out what direction I want to be in.
He was granted that time off to have as many burgers as he wants. That is Ed Orgeron, the current question mark head coach of the LSU Go Tigers. Pete Futek is a friend of the show. We've known each other for a while. I enjoy talking football with him and other things. You can check him out at collegefootballnews.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at Pete Futek. F-I-U-T-A-K. He joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Mr. Futek, how are you?
Lawrence Holmes has been entirely too large. I've had a show with you. It's good to be back. I'm going to be a cheeseburger.
That's a pretty good Ed Orgeron that you did there.
Big Ant, back in the Campus Insiders days, used to make me do that, like, long form. You know, all the time before the show. And all of a sudden, halfway through every time, every show we would do, my voice would be shot. And all of a sudden, I'd have like the Bobby Brady time to change squeak at some point. I could only do that for about as long as I just did before my voice goes absolutely shot. That's exactly how, by the way, he does talk all the time. It doesn't matter if you're one-on-one with him. It doesn't matter if it's after a game. He talks 1,000 miles an hour, and that voice is always, always like that.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be doing any broadcasting. What happened here? And I saw the Athletic piece that I thought did a great job of illustrating it. But what happened? Because 2 years ago, he was the toast of college football. There was vindication there for Ed Orgeron and the journey that he had gone on. How do you go from being a national championship coach to being fired in 2 years?
You lose. That's how it is. That's basically as simple as it gets. All the other stuff from the Darius Geist handling that situation to the chatting up, allegedly, according to the Athletic, the pregnant wife of a very important person at LSU, to all the other things that he was. And, you know, as soon as you start losing, well, then you get the stories out, well, he lost the team and they don't believe in him now and his methods don't work. The fact of the matter is LSU's been very good. They caught the all-timer of a bad break last year when they had to replace, you know, I think the stat was they lost a player at every single position to the NFL draft, including long snapper from that 2019 team. So they needed a rebuild, and it was the corona year, and they lost their coordinators. And then this year was supposed to kind of be the regression to the mean, and they're good. They're fine, except that team is loaded with NFL guys who want to be in the NFL already and don't really want to play college football. And they're okay. You know, they beat Florida last week, but they've just had a slew of injuries, a slew of other problems, and they're not Alabama. And that's part of the problem of life in the SEC is you could be very, very, very good, and then you're still not Alabama.
Okay, but with all the things that you said, if I were Ed Orgeron, those would be things that I would present to LSU and saying that I should still be here. So how does not just the losing affect him losing the gig?
Yeah, there's the other stuff I mentioned. There is a whole bunch of things outside of just winning and losing that if you win, you can kind of, I don't want to say push aside, but you'll maybe figure out a way to keep your guy. But he didn't exactly handle things well when it came to the social justice tide that was turning last year. Not really anything overt, just kind of more of a kind of a blind, you know, head coaching, myopic, I can only see straight ahead blindness to how the players were. And that among just like thing after thing after thing after thing.
Did he make some bad hires too, Pete?
That doesn't help, you know, and it's a lot of luck. And again, it was a total rebuild last year. You know, and every piece as well, they got blown up by Kentucky, and that was the last straw. Well, Kentucky's good, you know, and that's part of the issue. And I tell all my Texas and Oklahoma friends, you're like, well, once you go to the SEC, we're going to be good. No, this is everybody in the SEC outside of maybe Vanderbilt, this year maybe Mizzou, can play. So it's the anti-Cincinnati for the college football playoff argument. It's one thing to win one game. In the SEC, okay, you know, if you get by Kentucky, you just beat Florida. Great. You still have to beat Alabama and Texas A&M and Ole Miss and on and on and on. And it's just a hard league. But when you have a fan base that's used to seeing the top of the mountain, when you've had three national titles under three different coaches and you're thinking that you are going to be a national title level, just being okay isn't good enough. And you've got an AD who didn't hire Ed Orgeron, who wants his own guy. And everyone now is kind of jockeying the position for the post-Saban era, thinking that, all right, at some point this Alabama thing is going to chill. And that's why Texas A&M has got is locked into Jimbo Fisher for the long term. That's why Georgia's got Kirby Smart for a while. Dan Mullen's pretty entrenched not Florida no matter what. Everyone's trying to figure out how do we position ourselves to be that team. And at the end of the day, that team might still be Alabama, but at least this guy – wants to take his shot for the stars and go after a Dabo or even a Jimbo or some big name type.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to ask you. And Pete Futek of College Football News is joining me here on The Score as we talk about a little bit of college ball. Who makes sense? And is it possible that LSU not hire a crazy name and that maybe they do something that's off the beaten path? Or does this have to be a slam dunk type hire? Did Urban Meyer just quit at Jacksonville?
Yeah, it's a whole lot of things there. Yes, you do need the superstar hire. USC, I still think, is the better overall gig for whoever that superstar hire is, because, again, you didn't win right away at the Pac-12. Again, you don't want to beat your head against that SEC wall. You're going to get paid well at LSU, but you still got to deal with it. You can be awesome. You can do absolutely everything right, lose, you know, two games, and then that's it. That's your season. Your fan base is ticked at you. 10-2 doesn't work at LSU. So you need a special kind of guy who really is used to dealing with all that pressure and handling all that. And the crazy part is, I don't know if this point Jimbo's it. I think, unfortunately for LSU, they've planted the seed of Dabo into the heads of the fan base. And so anybody else you hire outside of Urban, which I don't think that's going to happen, anybody else just isn't going to be a part of this.
Okay. So let's move on. Let's talk about, well, your friend and mine, Anthony Heron. After yesterday, or during yesterday's show, I had him on. He's been puffing his chest about Iowa and Iowa being ranked number 2 in the country. And until Saturday, they were undefeated. I said their season's over. And then he was very angry about me saying that because he was comparing it to Alabama. And I was like, well, Alabama has a pretty clear path to making it to the college football playoffs. He seems to think that Iowa does too. Do you share his enthusiasm for the Hawkeyes?
Two ways of putting this. Yes, and I also kind of also think they have a better path than Alabama because Alabama's got a tougher schedule, and they got that monster in Georgia sitting at the end of the rainbow in the SEC championship. Iowa has a relatively easy slate. So in that way, they have a better chance to get to the college football playoff. But we know how this ends. I think Christian McCaffrey just scored again in the Rose Bowl against Iowa. I mean, we've seen this movie. You can't have the worst offense in the Big Ten. And I know that a lot of it's technical because of the yards and they're conservative and they come up with 12 turnovers a game, so they don't really have to go that far. But you can't have the 14th ranked offense in the Big Ten. And it showed last week against Purdue when the defense didn't take the ball away a bazillion times and they just had nothing to – they couldn't keep up. They just don't have the attack. So – you look at their path, they can absolutely get to 11-1, get to the Big Ten championship game, and this is not a be-all, end-all Ohio State team. I think it's still going to be the Buckeyes at the end of the day. But they could, you know, they could force a bunch of turnovers and, you know, Iowa it up and slow things down and maybe pull that off and maybe get to the college football playoff. But it's kind of like the NCAA tournament when, you know, you show me a Central, you know, whatever Tech State upset in the second round, I'll show you an 85-25 third round game. Well, you show me Iowa in the college football playoff, and there's a 55-10 Georgia win coming very, very soon right after.
That sounds very fair. Brett Bielema kind of opened some eyes over the last couple of days with things that he said about the level of talent that he has down in Champaign. I was really excited when they hired Brett. I've had Brett on the show twice, and I've enjoyed talking with him both times. Is it possible that it may have been a bigger undertaking than even he thought it would be down in Champaign?
A little bit, because he's got to start over. I mean, the thing about Brett Bielema is that his style and taking that Wisconsin style should work, but he didn't give it a long enough time to work at Arkansas, where they first tried, where they had like the I think at the time when he first started, they had the heaviest offensive line in college football at Arkansas. And then they switched and pivoted to more of a modified attack, and they started throwing the ball. It just didn't kind of fly. So if you're Illinois, it takes the hardest part about this is finding the five guys up front who can just beat up everybody else. Because that's kind of what Wisconsin did. They can overcome the talent gap by just owning the ball for 40 minutes a game, don't turn the ball over, except for this year, and doing everything else right. And his teams can potentially do that, but it is an undertaking. And in the day and age of the transfer portal, he's basically saying, hey, decent players out there, come to Illinois, and you are going to have a home very fast in the next year and a half or so.
It's very rare that people will walk away from a Power 5, and for the Pac-12, I mean, we could probably use air quotes for it, Power 5 head coaching job. Your thoughts on what's happened at Washington State?
Let's just say that I'm guessing you and I don't exactly see eye to eye with Rolovich on anything. He is a different kind of guy in a whole lot of ways. And you argue the whole, you know, his whole stance and his religious stance, which he's claimed, which is really just him being an anti-vaxxer and all that. But the thing about college coaches, and this was kind of my Urban Meyer Jackson's whole argument, there's a difference between a professional head coach doing something that's a little, you know, off kilter, forgetting John Gruden, but like Urban got caught for. All right, that's a professional head coach. He's coaching professional guys. It's a business, all that. It's a different thing to be a college head coach, because the college football head coach is the most visible and popular representative of a university. So if you're Washington State, forgetting the fact that he had to be fired according to the law because he's a state employee, is that you don't want – he's representing the entire student body, the alumni, the faculty, every aspect of Washington State University, for good or for bad, mostly for bad. So you just can't have that guy being the face of your university and being how the world sees your school. And he's a very difficult guy to begin with, and he wasn't exactly on the right side of the social justice thing, and he was a pain in the butt for everybody during this whole process. So, yeah, they're not exactly upset about seeing him go. And on the flip side, he left, and all of a sudden some major donor started donating a ton of money back into Wazoo after he got let go. So it's not like this whole thing, oh, well, they're going to lose financial support. Not necessarily. It's not how it works.
That's really interesting. I appreciate that little nugget of information. Check out Pete Futek over at College Football News. He's a good man and thorough. I appreciate you joining me. Thanks for the time.
Hey, John, I'll talk to you later. I'm going to have a cheeseburger now.
All the cheeseburgers, if you're Ed Orgeron. The aforementioned Anthony Heron is going to be out tonight. If you're in the Des Plaines area, Anthony's going to be doing his show from 6 until 9 tonight. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. His guest is Lance Briggs. So, you know, if you're out there, you want to go see the boys in a socially distanced way, go do that. Listen to the show from 6 to 9 tonight. Crack a Miller Lite while you're listening to the show. I'm sure Lance will have things to say about things. I would highly recommend that you listen. That's all. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to get back to the Bears. There's something that was on my brain this morning as I was prepping for the show. I don't have an answer for the question, but I do feel like the question needs to be asked. I'll do that next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
This morning when I was getting ready for the show, I was looking at all this Bear stuff, and we're going to break down the tape tomorrow with DJ Durkin. Well, not DJ Durkin, Dan Durkin, who goes by DJ Durkin on Twitter. And I wrote down this question. And it doesn't have an answer, and I understand that it doesn't have an answer. But it's something that crossed my mind when you see where the Bears' offense ranks in, like, every major category outside of rushing, and that the rushing should lead to them ranking higher in other categories, but for some reason it doesn't. Here's the question that I came up with. This is what I wrote down. I really wonder what Bears' upper management and ownership think about where the offense is at. Now, there's a built-in excuse or reason for Matt Nagy. Hey, we got this young quarterback. But when they haven't had young quarterbacks, when they've had the veteran quarterbacks that they've wanted, the offensive numbers are still the problem. So what's the common denominator? You get one of two choices. Choice one is the general manager isn't good at procuring quarterback talent for the head coach. Or number two is that the coach isn't good at coaching offense. Both of those choices are bad, and if I'm missing another thing that it could be, or the combination of both of those things, so be it. I just know that each week, especially because, you know, the Packers' losses burn the Bears' ownership the most, and to see it play out the way that it did on Sunday with Aaron Rodgers, and now that's a three-day story with him talking about, I still own you. I wonder what they're thinking about their head coach and their offense. I don't have an answer for it. I'll talk with Parkinson Spiegel about it next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.